people who are actually here today. I said, I know it. Way to go. We are the people without a cottage to go to, and it's fine. It's fine. We're not bitter about it. No, not bitter at all. You know, it's great when you get up to start preaching and you grab the stand that you're going to have your notes on, and you realize that there are no notes there because you didn't print them. So we're just going to go with it this morning. I think it's going to be all right. The good news is that I'm actually not doing a ton of preaching in that typical sense. This is going to be a much more interactive morning. We're going to look at a story from Matthew 20, and I'm going to need help. I'm going to need volunteers, because what we're going to do to get started is we're actually going to kind of act this story out a little bit and see it in the flesh, and then we're going to talk about it together. If you're newer around here and you're wondering, is this what this church does all the time? No. But it seemed like a good opportunity to try something a little different today. We got a lot of kids with us because it's a holiday weekend, and this is a fun way maybe to get them involved. But this is not just a kid involvement morning. I am going to need some adults, all right? So adults, don't check out on me here. To start, I just need a bunch of people up here who are going to play different roles. If you want to do it, just come up, and we'll start there. And then if I don't have enough, I'll start handpicking some of you. I just need some people to come on up here. And you can go stand over there by the wall if you would. So far, only kids, not cool adults. Let's go. Thank you. There's one, two. Excellent. All right. Teenagers as well. Thank you, teenagers. Excellent. Okay. Nothing like a little bit of pressure. All right. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 2. Yeah, this will work. Okay. So I need someone to be a vineyard owner. Evan, saw your hand first. Evan's the vineyard owner. I need a foreman. JP is the foreman, and the rest of you are workers, vineyard workers. Now, here's the thing, that sounds fairly simple, except we are going to divide up as we go along here, and you'll see why. Let's pretend that where we're standing right now is the town, the village that we all live in, and over there on that other wall is the vineyard. And as we go through the story here, if you're a vineyard worker, you're going to kind of make your way, over to the vineyard. Now,
wine tester.
There is wine testing as a part of it. If you said yes, lucky you. And all of you, sorry, no. But yes, everyone. No, there's no wine. I do need the vineyard owner over there and the foreman over there, because you're at the vineyard, because that's your gig, right? All right, I'm going to put this parable up on the screen, and we're just going to walk through it little by little as we go along here this morning. We're going to talk about it as we do. So if you were not one of the people with enough gumption to get up here, that doesn't mean, again, you don't get to do anything. We're going to need you to lend your voice and to participate as we go along. Let's start. All right. Jesus is with some disciples. There are other people around, and he says to them, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." All right, so let's act this out. JP, just fair warning, as a foreman, you don't have anything to do for quite a while, so you can take a seat if you want or stand there. So, vineyard owner, you're going to make your way into town. It's early in the morning, and look at all the people who are here. Thank you. Yep. Let's pretend you need work. What are you going to try and do here to get some work? Anybody? Yeah. Yep. So good. So this is what is happening, right? If you know this this culture, this is what happens. The vineyard owner may not have workers that are at his vineyard all year long, but when the harvest comes, he may need to go into town and hire some people. It's early in the morning, and he's going to pay them a denarius, which is a very fair wage for the day. Very fair, very good. So why don't you pick 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. Why don't you pick 3 people who are going to go over to your vineyard to start working? here early in the morning. Yeah, checking out that muscle content. It's his body mass index. Yep. See a resume. One. Vineyard owner, I am going to need you to move along. Two and three. Okay, good. All right, so we got three. That'll do it for now. Okay, you're going to, well, that's not, they're people nonetheless. All right. So you're all over here. You're in the vineyard. You need to start working. So do whatever you think that looks like in a vineyard, and off they go. Good. Keep working. Don't stop. We'll keep reading here while you work. About 9 in the morning, he, the vineyard owner, went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. So vineyard owner, back to the town. It's now about 9 in the morning. Others, they're still standing around. Here he comes. Well, some of you don't seem very eager to work. One, two, three. Great choices, great choices. And so they went. Back to your vineyard. All right, so we're getting more people here. Some are really taking this seriously, and I appreciate that. They have baskets. All right, we'll keep reading. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. So we'll combine this trip. He makes two of them. We'll combine it into one. So why don't you pick another 4 folks, okay? Another 4 people. Back, going back, going back. Okay, excellent, good. All right. Workers, I am going to need you to be silent if you wouldn't mind. Thank you very much. This is a silent work environment. Very hard to do. And then about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Sarah. Yep. You're not sure. You're just tired. It's 5 o'clock. You know, you're exhausted. It's fine. Now, let's just pause here for a moment. Let's just imagine, right? Jesus, in telling these stories, is inviting us in and inviting us to use our imaginations, okay? Just like we would with any other story. So what kinds of people would you say were the people chosen at 9 o'clock? If you just were having some fun and imagining, I don't know that there's a right or a wrong here. What do you imagine about the 9 o'clock, the early morning people that were chosen to go and work in the vineyard?
Responsible, hardworking people.
Responsible, hardworking, strong, maybe.
That hurts.
Oh, yeah, I know. It is going to hurt. Yeah, exactly. That's coming. Responsible, hardworking, strong. Anything else you'd say about those? Oh, maybe he knew them. Maybe they'd worked in his vineyard in the past. Great. Anything else?
Yep.
Yep. You just like Evan did, you kind of size them up, you know, test the muscle out. You're going to pick the ones that look strong and capable. Yeah, absolutely. They might be celebrities. Interesting. Maybe. Again, I'm not going to, you know, poo-poo that, but perhaps. Okay. What about the 5 o'clock people, to Kevin's point? What about these folks who are left? And be nice, you know. We're not talking about them directly. Those who they represent, what would you say about them?
They were still there.
That's helpful. They're still there. They want to work. Yep. What else? Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I guess we don't know if they were there in the earlier pickings necessarily, although it does say, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? But yeah, you know, maybe they're a little irresponsible. Do they look the part, do you think? I mean, how would you choose if you were the vineyard owner?
They're probably the scrawny leftovers.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But they're still there. So their desire may be to work. From the vineyard owner's perspective, perhaps, or maybe from the perspective of of kind of the world. Maybe these are the ones who don't get picked first to work. Maybe they're not the strong-looking ones, the capable-looking ones. It's at least possible. Again, Jesus leaves room here for us to imagine, all right? Because he doesn't define it for us, we get to enter into the story in this way. So the vineyard owner asks the question, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? It's kind of how does that question feel to you? Okay, that doesn't feel like a fair question to you. Yeah. Yeah, it feels a little bit that way, maybe. Yeah. Look at what the people reply by saying. Well, because no one has hired us. That's why we've been standing around. Duh. You know? Why do you think we've been standing here? We want to work. We're just standing here because no one's hired us yet. And so he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. All right, so now everyone's over to the vineyard, working away. Oh, man, it's been a hot day. Thank you. The owner's back, so they're back to work. You notice how that happened. A lot of them were sitting down. Now they're back at work. Someone's just squeezing grapes into their mouth, apparently. It's fine. Okay. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Interesting. All right, so the foreman is trying to get the last ones hired first. Why? Oh, hold on, don't pay her yet. Yep. Why do it this way? Why does Jesus tell this story this way, do you think? So that the last ones who are hired are the ones who get paid first. Ooh. They need money? Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe. They were the most dedicated. Perhaps. Yeah. Again, we're not told. This is another place where you get to enter the story. Use your imagination. Ask questions. Okay.
Yep. People are hired for time to see what happens.
Yes. Right. So there's something about to happen. Right. Yep. If you know this story, you know that. If you're listening to the story for the first time, it maybe feels a little odd that the last ones hired are getting paid first. So let's see what happens. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came. Let's let them come forward. Who are the 5 o'clock hires? You misfit group of people. There you are. And each received a denarius. Now, what's a denarius again? We read about it at the very beginning. A day's wage. A very fair wage for a day's worth of work. Yes. How are you feeling? Yeah, excited. Is this what you expected to happen?
Maybe it's a mistake, so I want to get out of
here. Yes, before the payroll person comes in, let's get out of here and run with our money. Yeah. How are the rest of you feeling? You just saw this go down.
I worked for a full day and getting paid the same. They've only been working for an hour.
Brendan's happy. That's good. Zeke, how do you feel?
Like, what the heck?
Okay, sure. What the heck? All right. How could this be?
Maybe, like, is there some mistake? Is this really bad at math?
can this guy do math? Is this a mistake? It doesn't seem right.
Next time, I'm just going to sit in the back.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You may be wondering if you're going to get like twice that.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, they got a denarius. Holy cow, we've been here all day or half of the day. What are we going to get paid? Well, let's find out. So when those came who were hired first, like the Dave Rucases of the world, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. How you feeling? It's unfair. Feels unfair, doesn't it? Yep. Let's keep reading. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Yep, there it is. There's the grumbling. Yep. These who were hired last worked only an hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered to them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So there's a story. Let's give a hand to these people who were brave enough to come up here. Well done. Well done. You may stay in the vineyard if you like, but yeah, you might want to go have a seat. I was joking. Have a seat, son of mine. Ay, ay, ay. So this story is weird, isn't it? How many of you have heard it before? Yeah? Bunch of church people. Right, so you've heard it before. That's a challenge for us because it's hard to hear. Right, the familiar can lead to kind of a dullness in us. So try to listen again with fresh ears and ask some questions about this story. Why is it weird? Why is it abnormal, strange? Why does it get your attention? Yeah, so it's strange because they all got paid the same. Absolutely. That feels, well, what does that feel to you?
Not logical business sense.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I run payroll at my other job, which is a terrifying thing. It's terrifying to be in control of other people's paychecks. You pay people exactly for the amount that they worked. That's exactly what we do when it comes to wages, of course. It didn't work in that way. Nope. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe it did because what if they work like super hard in those 2 hours?
Maybe.
The others would just
go to school. Maybe. Maybe. I think, Stephanie, you know, your point is kind of an interesting one. I think I might phrase it this way, that we live in a world where kind of the standard operating procedure is that you get what you deserve. That's, I think, how we kind of go through life. I want what I deserve. And so when I work hard and when I work 10 hours, I want to get paid for 10 hours, right? We want what we deserve. If I'm a good person who does good things, then I deserve to have a good life. It's a very... Come on, that's all over in our culture. And it slips into religion. If I pray, if I go to church enough, maybe if I give some of my money, then I will have a blessed life. I'll get what I deserve, what I've earned. Now, there's convention. That's conventional wisdom, and conventional wisdom is often right and often good. That principle isn't like evil in and of itself, but something different is happening in this story. And thank goodness. We may want what we deserve. Like we may feel like, you know what, that's a great way to have the world operate. I want to get what I deserve until we don't want to get what we deserve. Until we screw up, right? Until we make a mistake, and then what do we want? Yeah, we want grace. We want mercy. We don't want what we deserve. We want something else. So Jesus is doing something here. He's challenging the way that our world normally operates. And it's through this weird story that he does it. Right? Our world, the kingdom of this earth operates a certain way. Jesus is saying something different. In fact, back in verse 1, we get a sense of really, we can't miss this point. How does this whole parable start? For the kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus is telling this story so that we might better understand the way that God's kingdom, God's economy, God's way of operating would get into us deeper. We would understand it better. So, let me ask some questions and let's have a little bit of dialogue here. I'm curious what this parable tells you about who God is. And to do that, you probably should look at the vineyard owner, right? Every parable, the characters in it represent someone or someone's else. In this story, it would seem that the vineyard owner represents God. So what do you learn about the vineyard owner in this parable? What does the vineyard owner do and be? What do you think? No doubt about it. I hadn't really thought about that. Looking for fruit. Expecting fruit. It's harvest time. What else do we notice about the vineyard owner in this story? Unfairly so.
He didn't call everybody all at the same time.
I was going to say, he keeps looking for people. He's continually looking for workers.
Yeah, same thing and different. Yeah. What did you say?
He likes grapes.
Likes grapes, yep. Looking for fruit, likes grapes, sure. Oh, interesting. Yeah, right. Is that your point, Evan, that he keeps getting workers, so he must be successful? Yeah. Picked. So did you say he's graceful? Is that what you said? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yep. Gets to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it my money? Can I do what I want? Good. Beautiful. Let me just call time out from this process and let me just highlight what's happening here, okay? How many of us struggle to read the Bible? I don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know where to begin. What we are doing here communally, you could do individually or you could do around the dinner table with your family, reading a story and asking questions about it. That's all we're doing, right? It's not complicated, no theological degrees required. It's just saying, what do we learn about the owner? And look at what happens, right? This is beautiful. Let me say a couple of things. Oh, actually, I'm going to hold off. This is great. Okay. Next question. What do we learn not only about who the workers are? We can talk about that. We can see the way that they interacted and behaved in the story. But what does this story also teach us about how God's workers are to live in this kingdom of God? All right? What we're asking then is, how are we to live in the kingdom of God? And what we can list here for a minute, if you want to throw it out, is what do we see in the story? So maybe what are the ways that we normally kind of navigate through life in situations like this? And then what do you think this story is calling us to? Yeah, oh, it's so good. Yep. Please don't go to Pennsylvania. Actually, blessings to Pennsylvania. We want what we deserve, and we want, I'm just going to try and summarize here, tell me if I'm wrong, to judge or determine what other people deserve. Holy cow, do we do this? We're always sizing each other up. And we're doing it, at least in part, to figure out what we deserve and what they deserve. So kids, anybody ever had someone at their school who got, they got to do something awesome that no one else did? Like, they got to go have lunch with the teacher, or they got to be the, I don't know, what's cool at school? Like the line leader or the, help me, what would be the coolest thing? Yeah, just say it.
Day
off. No, like for real. For real though. What's that? Extra recess? Okay, so let's say some kid in your class got given the gift of an extra recess and you were looking at them and you were like, hold on, that's the kid who talks when they're not supposed to talk. And who doesn't always turn in their homework, and I've still seen them eat their boogers. You know what I mean? They do not deserve that. Who deserves it? I do. Have you ever done this? Right? Because you've been sizing them up and you've kind of made a judgment about not only what you deserve, but what they deserve. Oh, we do it all the time. Someone at work gets a promotion and we don't, right? Someone, it's telling you about their incredible vacation that they just took. They were in Europe for 2 weeks, then down to sub-Saharan Africa, and then they snorkeled in the Great Barrier Reef, and you're like, the last vacation I took was 2 years ago in Nuevo. Nothing against Nuevo, you know, but, right? And you're like, how do they deserve that kind of a vacation, or that kind of car, or that kind of kitchen remodel? And we're like, I deserve that. I'm a good person, or as good as they are, or maybe even better than they are. We play this game all the time, and we don't just do it with material stuff. We do it with things like joy. Why does that person have so much joy? I don't have that much joy. I'm a good person. I do the right things, tick, 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 tick. Why don't I have more joy in my life? Why does that person have all the friends, all the connection? It seems like everyone loves them. Why doesn't everyone love me? Right? We do this That person has purpose. That person has seems like they have a great deal of contentment and fulfillment in their life. I don't have that. Why don't I have that? I should have that. I am as good as they are. On and on it goes.
This is the first time I read this, and in the response only, thought about white privilege. And that part of this is like perhaps that all lives matter response to Black Lives Matter and this like... Why do you think just this idea of equity and how challenging it is?
It's so challenging. Yep. Yep. So this is what's going on. There's this very common human move to determine what I deserve and what you deserve, and to cry foul when you get something that I don't think you should have. Yep. What do you think is the call of Jesus through this story? Could be, yeah. That would seem to be, I think that makes a lot of sense, Stephanie.
I think
it's a move
away from comparison.
Can you say it again?
Moving away from comparison towards.
Yep, I think that's also here. Yes. Yes. God has enough. God has enough to even pay the 5 o'clock worker. Isn't that, you're hitting it, I think. At least this is a lot of what resonates with me as I think about this story. Why do we do this and play this comparison game? Because we don't believe that there's enough to go around. And if you get something that I really want, then I believe that I'm not going to get it. And so if you have joy, if you have fulfillment, if you have connection and purpose in your life, I'm envious of that because I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to get that too. We definitely operate with a scarcity mindset. Yep.
And perhaps a call to living into like what is or more complexity or again this idea of equity and equality and that it's not all about the same and A or B follows A and
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we live in a world where, as a payroll person, I do need to pay people who work 40 hours for 40 hours of work. Like again, this isn't like a throwing out of this conventional wisdom that a lot of life operates within. But what you're saying, I think, is that there's also a great deal of complexity to this. Finding a way to be generous, living generously, doesn't always mean that things are going to fit nicely into columns and categories.
And that we can get distracted if we're focusing on, like, what happened there? How does that work out? Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, thankful for what we have. Or,
yeah.
You know, Gotcha. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And saying, well, this is what God would do, you know. And so the idea of attributing human characteristics that are almost strictly human.
Yeah.
And not fully
divine. Yeah. Yeah. So are you saying that if you're kind of going through this story, you would expect that the vineyard owner was going to behave in a certain way that would be very human? And what this story ends up doing is flipping that and showing us that God doesn't fit into that box. Is that what you're saying, or is that not what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah. What did we sing earlier? Right? Grace for the saint and the sinner. Help me here. For the there's enough that chorus or that bridge goes saint and sinner, something and lost, found and lost, and then there's enough for everyone. Grace to go all around. Yeah. So the 9 o'clock worker who looks like they kind of had their act together. You know, if we're going back to what we imagine might have been true of those workers, they get grace, as does the 5 o'clock misfit, who's scrawny, who isn't picked first, who isn't the cream of the culture's crop. That person gets grace too, and the same amount. There's enough to go around for everybody. How much the 5 o'clock person needs grace, and that we are the 5 o'clock person sometime. Yep. Yeah. Angela, are you going to say something?
Well, I have this vision of like a light bulb in my head. It took me a while, right about the time that I started talking about grace, I realized that it was like a light bulb that went off in my head. People were looking at this as a value of learning.
Yeah. Right. We deserve it. We've earned it. Therefore, we own it. Therefore, we determine who else gets it. Right? And God's economy in the kingdom of heaven, things are different than that. Radically different. They're upside down. So, looking at this list, I wonder what you're going to take away today. And maybe it's not on this list. Maybe it's something different. This is always the question if you're reading the Bible. This is the question that I think is a good one to end with. So what? So what? So now what? What do I feel a sense of call to do or to say or to think? So what? I'm just going to pause here for a brief minute, kind of a quiet, to give you a chance to ask that question and listen for the Holy Spirit's leading. This meal is a very clear, helpful reminder of grace, freely given, not earned, not to be owned by us, given to the 9 o'clock and the 5 o'clock person. What I want to invite you to do today is to come and eat, to come and drink, and to be reminded of who God says you are. Someone who God pursues and comes looking for in the village. You're someone who God chooses. You're someone who's given grace. Often we'll pass the bread and the cup from person to person. Today, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to tear off a piece of bread, or there are going to be some gluten-free chips up here, if that's a better choice for you, to dip either of those into this cup. No pressure to do that. If maybe this morning it's better for you, you feel to just stay where you are and to be quiet and to pray, do that. But if this meal would be a gift, then I invite you to come. This is God's gift to God's people. Amen.